Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country, writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years. Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week, we'll be in a new town. And after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another episode of These Parts. I'm Vince McNally. Glad to be back. I stayed on the mainland while my brother visited sunny Hawaii. I'm sure it was lovely. I haven't listened to the episode yet. As a rule, I don't listen to episodes where I'm not directly involved. So, Elliot, can you give a report? How was it? Was it fun?
It was a lot of fun. Our cousin Dan McNally actually opted to stay in Hawaii with our guest.
Oh, interesting. Well, good on you, Dan. I like that guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I feel bad for him that, you know, he had to endure that guest that we had with us. But, you know, I think it was a fun episode, and I hope you had fun with our stepdad, Skip Margolis.
Oh, of course I did. Skip was lovely. I did eventually leave him at a gas station in Arizona, but until then, we had a blast. I have a little mail. I know we usually save this for later in the show, but I've got it's a save the date here.
A save the date, like for a wedding?
It looks that way. This is weird. It's from Dan. It's quick how the mail moves fast across the Pacific. And it saved the date. He's marrying correct me if I'm wrong, Elliot. This is a cartoon character, Penelope Pitstop. Do you remember this cartoon character?
Oh, yeah, he enclosed a little picture of her, and she seems to be a pillow.
I don't know what this is about. I don't know what you guys got up to in Hawaii, but count me out.
It's a long story. It is a long, long story that I really don't want to get into. I'd rather talk about the town we're in today, Vince.
That's a great idea. Let's jump right into it, actually, in a segment called Put It on the Map.
So listeners at home, take out your comprehensive Rand McNally U.S. wall maps in whatever form you have them in. Maybe they are already proudly represented on your wall. Take out your commemorative pushpins and get ready to stick a pin in Looky Here, South Dakota, where we are today. Looky Here has the most and farthest reaching billboards for various town attractions than any other town in the U.S. There's billboards for this town, Vince, and listeners, as far away as Maine, if you can believe it. There's some in Hawaii. We saw some last week. With us today to discuss all that and more is one of the proprietors of a town attraction. Can you introduce yourself?
Hi, yes. My name is Helvetica Tanner, and I own it's actually the world's largest collection of fossilized rat tails.
Your name is Helvetica Tanner. That's a very interesting name.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I often go by Heli or HT.
I think I'll call you Helvetica until the rapport becomes a little more natural. I don't want to overstep my bounds, but thanks so much for joining us. I know as a proprietor of the world's largest collection of petrified or fossilized, was it?
Fossilized.
Fossilized, yeah. Rat tails, yes. You're a busy woman, so thanks so much for joining us. If you want to go ahead and stick a pin, it looks like a rat tail that's been sharpened to a point. You've brought your own push pin.
I do. You know, there's so many great uses, and the ones that aren't, the ones that are a little ugly, well, you can just say it, right? We use them for sometimes as rulers. They're often 5.5 inches exactly. So it comes in handy, you know, when we're laying out some tile or pushing pins and maps.
That's great. And it's in there. We're in Looky Here, South Dakota. Can you just clarify for me and for our listeners, because I can't quite tell, by rat tail, do you mean the tail of an actual rodent, or do you mean a fossilized cut or lock of the famed 90s hairstyle?
Well, we do have a collection of those as well. It's funny you should mention that. Wow. But yeah, it's a bit of a, we had a bit of a tussle, me and Tarl, who was trying to get in on my business, and we had to go and call that the hair collection. But mine is actual rat tails from the rodent. Yes.
Interesting.
Wow. So you heard it here first, listeners. Maybe you've seen billboards for the largest collection of fossilized rat tails in your own town. Helvetica, how far away do you have billboards for this?
Well, we actually have, we just put one up in London. Super excited about that. Yeah. We did a crowdsourcing campaign and, international now, you know?
I'm sure the people of England jumped right on board to the Kickstarter to put the billboard up in downtown London. That seems like a natural fit for any enterprising young Londoner.
I think that they just really need some more culture out there. And we didn't actually hear a lot of feedback from anyone in London, but we did hear from people in London, Canada. And so we figured it was a sister city, and any support there is support abroad.
That's great, and I think that's a great outlook to have. I'm looking at the Kickstarter now, and what's interesting is that there was a Kickstarter, as Vince said, to raise money for the actual billboard. And if you were a funder, one of the prizes you got was to raise money for the excavation of even more rat tails.
That's right, yes.
Wait, let me clarify. The reward for donating money is to donate more money? Am I reading that correctly, just out of curiosity?
Well, yes, because, you know, the spirit of giving engenders more giving. And we find that when people are giving, you have a better perspective on life, and you feel better about yourself and the world around you. And we think that's especially important for people in London.
You know what? That's very wise.
It is. It's extremely wise. Helvetica, how did you get into the fossilized rat tail game? How does one even broach this subject?
Well, it's actually a family business. It's now been four generations back. And I think it was my great-great-grandfather that went overseas to the Gilbertese Islands and learned their language out there and just married a lovely young Gilbertese woman. And they had a ritual around rat tails that guaranteed fertility. We had a huge family, and I was the eldest of the last generation and inherited the business. And we have all of the Lattice and Rake and Charlene are all working for us, too.
Wow.
It's so nice. You know, that's one of the things I love about small-town America is that these family businesses are still up and running strong. Elliot, this is such an endearing and inspiring episode already. I just can't even wait to jump into the first segment.
Me neither, Vince. It's a segment we call Hall Monikers.
So listeners, sometimes one of the most interesting things about a town in small town America is how it got its name. We think this is a great opportunity to show exactly that. This episode, when we're in Lookie here, South Dakota, a very interesting and fun name for a town, Helvetica. Could you provide a little insight, should you have it, into how Lookie here got its name?
Yes, well, I think it's one of the myths that we have around here is the old John Appleseed descendant came into town and found some natives here, some Native Americans, and he was offered a bunch of cookies. And he kept saying, you know, hey, there's cookies here. But people misheard him. And he kept saying, cookies here, and eventually everyone couldn't quite get between the C and the L. He had a little bit of a lisp.
The classic CL lisp, yeah. That's a normal thing to happen in linguistics, for sure.
Yeah, and he, I think people didn't, you know, they didn't want to make him feel bad about being mostly incomprehensible.
Even though they spoke different languages to begin with.
Yeah, but I think that, he was trying to fit in and be comfortable and inspire the people around him.
Sure.
So there's a little bit of a confusion happening there, but I think they embraced it and just, okay, let's just do the Lookie here.
And it was just a happy accident that Lookie here fortuitously meant look over here in English, his Johnny Appleseed's native tongue.
Yes, well, descendant of Johnny Appleseed.
Which descendant exactly? Do you remember?
The fourth.
The fourth one.
Johnny Appleseed the fourth, yes.
J-A-4, we like to call him. Or J-A-4.
Do the Appleseeds still have an attraction in town?
Yes, and actually there is a really large collection of fossilized Appleseeds that we're trying to acquire right now. We might start another Kickstarter for that. I think that Julie just wants a little bit too much, so we're also in negotiations.
Julie Appleseed, feared business mogul. Most of you who are going out to get your business degrees have probably read a case study or two about her. On that note, are you trying to corner the fossilization market here in Lookie here? Moving on from rat tails to figurative rat tails and now to apple seeds.
Yeah, absolutely. I would like to get a Guinness World Record for owning the biggest collection of fossilized everything. Just everything in the world that's fossilized, particularly in Lookie here. I think we have a really good natural abundance of fossilized phenomena.
Has anyone ever accused the town of making any of this up? It seems very strange that there would be so many fossils under one specific town in the U.S.
Well, I think there's a lot of healthy skepticism, but then they come here and are, you know, dazzled. And if they're not, then they usually just don't leave.
I don't mean to press you on anything, Helvetica, because believe me, I'm a 100% believer, but I've got a news clipping here from a couple years ago. It's a reporter. The headline reads, "Every single fossil in Looky Here found to be Plato." It's a long dash. "Lab analysis finds."
Oh, is that our friend Randy Daniels?
It's Randy Daniels of the Iowa Tribune. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, well, he had a issue growing up. You know, we went to preschool together, and all he did was sit around and eat Play-Doh and glue. He got held back a couple of years. I think he was the first kid to ever get held back in preschool. He couldn't also, he had a real problem drawing. He kept drawing happy faces on his sons, and that just wasn't allowed. He just had to have a realistic perspective on life. So we just didn't get along, and that feud has been going strong. I like to think that he's, you know, he's just, he just needs a big hug. So I feel like any publicity is really good publicity at this point anyway.
Strangely, I've got the very next issue of the magazine here. It says
you collect those magazines from Iowa, Vince.
Iowa news magazines are a personal hobby of mine. Maybe I'll start an attraction here someday. But it reads, there's an opinion piece that says Randy Daniels equal sign need of a hug.
Oh, is that authored by Randy Daniels?
No, it seems to be offered by someone who goes only by HT.
Oh, I'm really surprised to hear that.
You look genuinely surprised.
I feel that's what an interesting coincidence.
You're holding two rat tails above your eyes, almost as eyebrows that are very shocked.
Yes, I like to emote how surprised I feel. This is how I communicate in the world. But I'm pleased that that article exists. I'm pleased that we surprisingly found it at random here today, and speaking of which, we are working on fossilizing that collection of newspapers.
Well, great. Maybe I'll make a charitable donation, spirit of giving and all that. Plus, it's tax deductible. 'Tis the season. Do you have any more final notes on exactly how Looky Here came to be as prominent as it is? We know how it got its name, but how did that name get into the heads and on the tongues of every American person north of the Mason-Dixon line?
Well, we ran a big campaign, and we sent people by rail and on foot around the country, really all of North America, even down as far as Patagonia. We sent Timothy.
It's a region in Chile, is it not?
It is, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Very wide-reaching campaign.
It is.
Thought you meant the outdoor store.
Well, we camp in the outdoor store frequently, so that is one of our biggest campaign sites and contributors. Yes. Yeah, I highly recommend that.
Then you're not really exposed to, you know, the elements as much if you're inside a building.
It's a really safe way to see the world. They have really, actually, they have the one of the biggest displays in South Dakota, anyway, of digital landscapes. So you really can't ask for much more. And they have some bear sounds happening, so you get your adrenaline going. And it feels like a really authentic experience. Some, you know, those indoor pine mist sprays are going off too. It's really, really healing.
Those digital landscape billboards, I know, caused a lot of accidents around because although they were just a painted landscape for Looky Here, people kept driving into them thinking that they were following the road that way.
A la Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, exactly. That's really unfortunate. We did put a big block letter warning up there that just says, "This is not real. Head left to the fossil."
Head left 5,000 miles.
Yes. Well, I mean, 4,987, but who's counting?
Speaking of counting, Elliot, one of my favorite numbers is 3, and that's because we read 3 letters from our fans each and every week in a segment we call Wouldn't You Like to Know?
What a smooth transition, Vince. Listeners, Wouldn't You Like to Know, as my brother just stated, is your chance to write into us each week about whatever town we're in so Vince and I and our guests can discuss them. Guys, I've got the first question right here.
Let's hear it.
This one comes from Brady in New England, Washington.
Wow, what a confusing name for a city, but please.
It's almost as if he just thought of it while he was writing. It's very strange. Brady says that he is a recent graduate of a graphic design and advertising program out in Washington.
Oh, well, congratulations.
He said he's really excited to break into the world of billboard design. You know, that's a huge thing these days.
That's like the Super Bowl of advertising.
Yeah. A lot of people say that after a while, the web is going to be too passe and we're going to go back to billboards. So looky here is already on the cutting edge. Brady wants to know if we or our guest have any tips on designing great billboards.
Ooh, well, I know you know a thing or two about it, Helvetica. Do you care to share your wisdom on the fact?
Absolutely. I think one of the trips, the outdoor store is a really good idea. Spend the night. Maybe take some tea. And I'd also recommend talking to one of our local experts here. He goes by Shelf Williams.
Shelf Williams, the famed Shelf. Yeah, he worked with all the greats.
Yeah, and he's actually an LED expert. And as a kid, he used to take apart the lights and dissect them. He once created, when you shine the sun through the magnifying glass and you can start a fire? Kind of a double-edged sword here, but he did start the biggest fire that Looky Here has ever had. Became a bit of a hero because he also put it out. By way of putting up a giant billboard in record time.
So the billboard, it redirected the wind because it was so giant and blew out the fire?
That's absolutely correct. You must have heard about that in that Iowa newspaper.
I saw a billboard about it, actually.
Oh, great. Was that in Maine?
Yes.
Oh, it's working.
Well, it seems a little outdated now because the billboard only specified an event that took place over a day, but it's great. It's free advertising in general. And do you have any tips on, how to make a great billboard? I mean, what are people attracted to? Is it the color? Is it the wording? Is it the picture?
I think really how it makes you feel. If you feel like the wind is blowing in your heart, you're doing something right. You know what I mean? Mm. And I also think, size does matter. I'd say go for as big as possible. You can't be missed in this day and age, really. And if you see a billboard around, measure it and go for at least 12 and a half times the size.
If I'm discerning this advice correctly, you measure the billboard that you're designing for, then design for it to be a factor of 12 times larger.
12 and a half, yes.
12 and a half. Ah, interesting. I'm no graphic designer myself. That seems to have some inherent logistical problems, but hey, if I can't trust the experts, then I'm not doing my job. Good luck with that, Brady, and thanks for writing in. I've got the next question for us right here.
Great, Vince.
This comes from Gloria in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Great. What does Gloria have to say?
Gloria has to say, good evening, darlings. I'm not affecting the accent on the writing. It is spelled D-A-A-H-L-I-N-G-S.
She wants us to know that she's from Louisiana.
This is good evening, darlings. I'm glad you're in such a prestigious location as Looky Here, South Dakota. Well, so are we. She continues to write, funny how it's named as not only a haven of the billboarded, but also a bastion for cinema.
I didn't know that.
I, too, am surprised by this fact. She wraps it up by saying, I'm sure you're already planning to, but please talk about the most famous film ever to be created about and around Looky Here. That is, of course, the classic thriller Deliverance.
Okay, now I know that's not true. I mean, she was a very eloquent writer, Gloria.
She even wrote in an accent somehow.
Yeah.
You know she knows what she's talking about.
I don't think she knows what she's talking about movies. Helvetica, does this happen often? Do people mistake Looky Here is the site and the setting of the 1970s thriller Deliverance?
Absolutely. That is something that happens frequently, and I think it might be a product of one of the false advertising billboards that were out there.
Oh, is this the one? I think I passed this on the way in I think we were in Ontario, maybe, driving in from the north, and it said Deliverance opening night, one night only. And so I'm assuming this billboard was put up in about 1970.
Yeah, well, I actually think that one was erected later for an event that happened in the past, as we are apt to do that here.
It was an event that happened in the past, but it was put up in the future.
Yeah, that's one of those paradoxes of time.
Not to harangue you on this point, but I don't think just putting something up that refers to the past is exactly a time paradox.
Well, that's what we call it here, and looky here.
Fair enough. I shouldn't stick you on the details. Speaking of details, very strange route we took coming from Hawaii through Ontario to South Dakota. But hey,
I don't plan the routes.
We've got an app to rely on, but you'll hear more from them later. Well, sorry that you're mistaken, Gloria. Thanks all the same for your interesting letter. Helvetica. Do you have the third and final write-in for us?
Oh, I do, yes. Let's see here. This is from Charlie Swanson from, what is this? That is Kao in Nebraska.
He writes very, very small. Nebraska.
Kao.
Weird name. That's not been on our radar. What does Charlie have to say?
He says, it's a tiny, tiny scrawl here.
Why did he write so small?
Guys, it's very small.
Just so you know, I know that people are trying to save post in this day and age, save money on that, but you guys can send normal size letters to us. It's okay.
Well, this is about the size of a fortune and a fortune cookie. It says, let's see here. Is it true you have the world's largest asparagus testing facility? Does it smell as sweet as they sound when you release it? Well,
that
I don't
took a
know
turn for the cryptic at the end.
Very strange.
It feels like a fortune.
It was actually written on top of a fortune. He has lucky numbers on the back of that.
Oh, yes. Well, maybe you should use that for your next coordinates.
It seems like it would be better at planning where we go next than relying on our app. But there's an asparagus testing plant. And looky here, what do you need to test for asparagus?
Well, it's actually the after effects of asparagus. We have, it's a product that Carly has put together to try and test the smell of really famous odors, if you will. Mm-hmm, and so there's a rumor that when people eat asparagus and then they go woo-woo, there's a really strong odor. Now, nobody in Looky Here can pick up on that odor. We don't know if this is a rumor or a fact, and really trying to put together the technology to test whether or not this is true.
Well, I would think that heightened exposure to something lowers your tolerance, and Looky Here has the largest toilet, which is, I guess that's what the asparagus testing facility is. So you just have a bunch of people peeing all the time here, then...
Elliot, please, this is a family show. You use the term woo-wooing if you don't mind.
Yeah, so when you have a bunch of people going woo-woo in the tutu, then you're going to smell this asparagus smell all the time, and maybe you guys don't smell it, but people five towns over still smell it.
That is a good point. I wonder if we just need to have testing on ourselves and see if we have the olfactory resonance to pick up on this really important smell.
I mean, this is just an armchair theory, so feel free to disregard, but the fumes from the billboard glue that you have to stick the panels, that's how you put up a billboard. I think it might have something to do with it. It's a very strong turpentine smell as we entered the town.
Yeah, that's the same glue that Randy used to eat in droves.
So maybe it's not that you can't smell the asparagus woo-woo, it's that you just can't smell anything because of the fumes.
Well, that might be true, but I do feel like I can smell how people are feeling. Like I said, that's why it's so important to have a billboard that makes you feel. And, you know, when we're camping out in the outdoor store, there's a really strong pine smell. So those are two really important smells in my life.
Well, I guess this mystery stays unsolved for now. Elliot, maybe we can delve into more tread upon ground.
In a more concrete segment, giving them the business.
So listeners, one of our favorite things about small town America is its entrepreneurial spirit. That's why we like to do Giving Them the Business, a segment all about the small businesses, the independently owned shops, the mom and pop shops of the towns that we visit. I'm sure there are dozens of upstart attractions here in Looky Here where industrious Americans are doing their best to make a living. Helvetica, you're one of them, but can you tell us about some other ones here in Looky Here that we should check out?
Yeah, actually, one of my favorites is the world's largest collection of nail clippings. And Ludlow turns those nail clippings into everyday household goods, like a dreidel and a backyard swan.
An everyday household dreidel. I've been meaning to get my hands on one of those.
Yeah, and it's just, it's a limited supply.
We only have the formal dreidels here in the RV.
It's a real shame. You should really get the everyday household.
And usually dreidels are made out of clay, but he makes them out of clippings.
Nail clippings, yes.
That definitely requires a deft hand. What other things does he make out of clippings?
He's once made a stapler.
Wow.
Entirely out of clippings, or is just the sort of ceramic shell made out of clippings?
It's entirely out of clippings and glue.
Oh, okay. Yep, makes sense.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it can't handle metal, so he also fashions staples out of the nail clippings themselves, and you get about 12 and a half days. It's what's a really important number here. Of hold. It's like if you want to send a memo like Mission Impossible style and you just want to make sure it expires in 12 and a half days, you'd use this stapler.
The message itself won't expire, of course. It just will become unbound by the staple.
Yes, exactly.
I see. Well, I'm already regretting asking, but where do all these clippings come from? How does he harvest such a prolific number of nail detritus?
Every kid up to the age of 12 and a half, again, will donate. And we also solicit one of the biggest campaigns we have going on is soliciting nail clippings. That's what it's called, soliciting nail clippings. And we have an average, I think, about 12 pounds coming in every 2 days.
There's so that there's number again, 12. Yeah,
absolutely. I think if it weren't 12, we wouldn't accept it. And, you know, the younger, the better. So usually kids have the supplest nail clippings, but we won't turn anyone away.
It's very charitable of you. Okay, so we've got Laszlo, who's a nail clipping savant. Very interesting line of work. Are there any other attractions that, if I'm a family of four, just take it or leave it, maybe I'm a family of 12 and a half, who knows, and I'm coming through Looky Here, what else do I have to see, do you think?
Well, I would check out the biggest frame store.
Like picture frames?
Yeah, well, mostly for billboards. If you could check out the biggest billboard frame store.
Mm-hmm. So you guys frame your billboards like a picture?
Well, we don't, but there is a high demand for it. We hear in London, for example.
They do things a little differently over there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're trying to support the international education. And I think at the frame store, you can also meet Matilda, who is a 23-year-old Siamese cat who's lost her voice, and she's adorable.
That sounds really nice. We're big animal lovers here on these parts.
We saw a billboard for Matilda out in Hawaii, actually.
Oh, that's great. I think she would really appreciate knowing that. Won't you tell her when you go see her and her family?
I will.
Listeners, if you're planning a trip to Looky Here, and you should, you've already got a full docket. But one thing we haven't answered just yet is exactly how to find this gem tucked in the Midwest wilderness. Maybe we should do that.
I think we should, Vince, in a mini segment called How Did We Get Here?
So part of the reason why we can bring you this show each and every week is because of the generosity of our sponsor, MAP. That's M-A-P-P. MAP, the map app, the app that's a map. You've probably heard of it on such illustrious tech forums as Gawker, that's not Gawker, that's Gawker, and Tech World spelled with an E, not in tech, that's the world is spelled with an E. So listeners, if you haven't though, it is the hottest new geolocation navigational assistant application for your mobile phone.
Vince, before we crack the app open, and you do have to crack it open, it resides on top of your phone, not inside of it, we have to talk about this week's featured feature, which of course is turn-by-turn navigation. And when I say that, you might be thinking, oh, it dictates the turn to you. No, MAP has pioneered what they call turn, BI-turn. So now they can do directions that require one turn or two turns?
One of the biggest complaints about Generation 10 of map, the map app, the absence map, was that if you had any location that was further than three turns away, the app failed spectacularly and deleted all the data off your phone.
So now you can do one turn, you can do two turns, you can do multiples of two turns. It still has a problem with higher odd number of turns, but I think they're going to fix that bug in generation maybe 15 or so. But I think we should plug in how to get to the fingernail clippings from Ludlow here.
Absolutely. Let's let our guest do the honors of firing up her app. We downloaded it on her phone for her while she was in the bathroom. Why don't you go ahead, Helvetica, and fire up map, the map app, the app that's a map.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And your phone is, there's a small flame emerging from it. You did literally fire up the app, but that's okay. That's just how you know it's working. Why don't you read off to our listeners, we just plugged in the main highway, Highway 90. What do you do to get from there to here?
Well, it says at the top here, there's a little warning. Three left turns don't make a right. So I just want to point that out. Yes, and I think, well, it's unfortunate because we have to go, well, you just go right up at the sign, but it says to go left and then left and then left. But that doesn't make a right.
Uh-oh. The app is falling into one of its many existential paradoxes. I think you'd better power that down, Helvetica, before something unexplainable happens.
It's really hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we should throw that out the window before we proceed to our next segment. Something that can be a little more fast-paced than what the map is capable of, Vince.
I agree. Segment we call Did You Know?
So listeners, Did You Know is our rapid fire, fast pace segment firing five facts at you, the listener, from whatever town we are in. Each week we have five, of course, and guys, I have the first one.
Excellent. Let's hear it, Elliot.
Guys, did you know that looky here, South Dakota not only has the most amount of billboards representing the town, that amount is exponentially increasing every single day.
Ooh, Elliot, that sounds like a tall order mathematically, but I'm all ears.
Well, I'm sure, Helvetica, you can shine a light on this. A lot of the billboards are for things that are very temporal. They only are for lasting a day. You know, that you had the premiere of the movie Deliverance. Maybe you have a state fair. And it's actually, you guys found it was cheaper than tearing down a billboard, was just to put up another billboard behind the billboard that said, actually, this is wrong now. So you guys have addendum billboards for every single billboard you have.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really important to, when you want to get your facts straight and you want to avoid those, you know, temporal, those time paradoxes.
Now, again, again, I'm not certain that it's a paradox. It's just the normal passage of time. Tomato, tomato.
Okay.
So what is there a record amount of billboards that are referring to one specific attraction?
Yes, the record amount, I think there are 34 now for hot coffee.
Well, what is hot coffee?
Hot coffee that's hot.
Oh, so there was a literal billboard for hot coffee, and then what I'm assuming there's a billboard behind it that said it's a little bit cooler now, and then just a little bit cooler until it's cold?
Yeah, tepid.
What stretch of highway can our listeners, if they want to check that out, where should they go?
Well, funnily enough, it's on the same series of turns that the maps was telling us to go. So if you go left and left and left and then left again off of Highway 90, or you could go right, but that's not really the spirit of adventure that we like to celebrate here.
Fair enough. Well, I did not know that, Elliot, but I'm sure that Helvetica knows this. Did you guys know, in looky here, the clocks all go to 12:30.
That's interesting. Why 12:30?
I'm hoping that Helvetica can shine some light on it. But there's an extra half hour after the 12 on the clocks here in looky here.
Yeah. Well, you know, 12 and a half. It's really important to us, and it's really important to the world, really. And I think eventually they'll catch on. As you notice here, the light shines a bit differently, especially at 12:30, than anywhere else you've been in the world.
Mostly because I think it's actually 4:45 p.m. after months of slightly off timekeeping.
I mean, that's another time paradox, isn't it?
I guess you can't really argue with that, Vince.
I think I could argue, but I'm not going to. Let's move on. Do you have the next Did You Know for us, Helvetica?
Yes, I do. So, Did You Know that Looky Here has the world's largest collection of washcloths.
Interesting. This is another one of those awesome tourist attractions that we were just craving. Tell us about the world's largest collection of washcloths.
Well, they're stacked about 4 miles high. We're working on, I'm sorry, 4 stories high. 4 miles is impossible.
It'd be impressive.
But we do have one of the, I think it's just now the second biggest crane to help us stack them. We want to keep it, you know, tidy.
Oh, so that's like another attraction in and of itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're right next to each other. So really you get two in one, two birds, one stone.
And it is a literal crane that is flying these washcloths up and stacking them one on top of the other.
Right. That's why the expression two birds and a stone, isn't that right?
Yeah, I'm certain that's it. That's amazing. I love the intersection of enterprise and biology. Makes me think of the Flintstones. Elliot, maybe you can shed some light on the next Did You Know fact for us.
I will, but I just want to know, does the crane ever turn around to anyone who's near it and say, it's a living?
I think if you feel that, then it's true.
As in most things.
I didn't know that, but guys, did you know that Looky Here pioneered the world's first living billboard?
Ooh, interesting.
So one of the ideas that Looky Here had was, instead of exponentially increasing the amount of billboards all around the world pointing towards the town, which it will anyway, they thought, why not bring the town to other towns? So they have people who are volunteers that live on billboards for Looky Here.
I had some trouble following that, Elliot, but it does sound interesting.
It's like a little slice of the town on a billboard. So you have one family, the Quigley family. They live out in Montana, but they just go about their normal lives as if they're in Looky Here. And then as you're driving past, people can experience a little slice of that life.
Well, have you ever taken part in this, Helvetica, or organized it?
I don't take part directly. I have, not to say that others don't, but I have really a lot of important work here in town and for the fundraising when we have to do our international fundraising. But I do direct people there, and I have seen actually the Quigley family, and it's adorable. It's like a little slice of life happening right there. Occasionally you'll see one of our famous cranes flying up to deliver some milk and cheese and snacks.
Nice. Oh, that sounds lovely.
It's all crane delivery.
Where can we find the Quigleys now?
Well, unfortunately, they've passed.
Oh, that takes a lot of
just
the
being exposed to the elements on a billboard on the middle of the highway.
Yeah. Well, we learned that you need some insulation for those below zero temperatures. It's not like camping here.
Yeah, a tragic decision in hindsight to post them in an Alaska billboard, but c'est la vie, as they like to say in Louisiana. I would typically have the last Did You Know fact for us, but by way of temporal paradox, it's actually you're up again, Helvetica. Do you care to hit us with the final Did You Know?
A final Did You Know. We have the world's biggest ball of tape.
Wow. Oh. That's definitely something you listeners would want to see. Can
way to bury the lead, Helvetica.
Save the best for last.
As they say in Louisiana.
So anyone still listening to this episode right now, you got the best thing right now.
Yep, world's biggest ball of tape, still sticky. And I guess a lot of people say that has quite a strong odor as well, but we celebrate it.
How big are we talking? How big is this ball?
It's about as big as 12 and a half flocks of cranes.
Okay, I can picture
a super practical means of measuring.
Or you could measure it in rat tails, as I would.
The most logical way, yes.
Absolutely. Well, you see how I'm holding them here? This is how we measure.
Yeah, that's really the Puritan's way of measuring.
Really
so you're
effective.
You're holding a rat tail about an arm's length away from you and squinting at it. And so you think that it gives you an accurate measuring by doing that?
Yeah, if I'm standing here and say if we were standing across each other and you would take about almost 13 but not quite paces back and we squint at each other, we can tell each other how far it is.
Well, listeners, I think that's a lot to ruminate on. I know I'll be thinking about it for a very long time. And speaking of which, thank you for taking so much time today, Helvetica, from your busy schedule as a proprietor of your own business and sort of a marketing ambassador to the town itself. Couldn't be happier to have you on the program.
Absolutely, and thank you. I hope to see you again soon.
And we thank you, listeners, for sticking with us this episode and hearing all you want to know about Looky Here. Vince, I think we should thank them even more in our next segment.
Our final segment, Wish You Were Here.
So listeners, obviously you can't travel with us across the country. And even if you used a map, the map app, the app that's a map, it's hard to say if you would get here also.
It actually makes it much less likely.
That's very true. But we have the next best thing for you, an audio postcard from us to you. It goes something like this. Dear listener, wish you were here in Looky Year, South Dakota.
A city in America with many, many attractions.
A city that you, at any point, are only about 12 and a half rat tails away from.
A city where you might encounter advertisements for it as far away as Hawaii, Alaska, or even London, England.
A town that may be in a time paradox.
A town by that we mean the time passes normally here, except the clocks go to 12 and a half instead of 12.
A town that may be in a time paradox.
And a town that you're sure to know a lot about even before you get here.
Farewell from these parts to yours.
Hey listeners, thanks again for joining us in Looky Here, South Dakota. Hope you had as much fun as we did. And I hope you join us next week when we're in Sylvester, California.
Voted the muddiest town in America, this landslide-ridden town is literally constantly moving. So join us next week. It's going to be great.